Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I am very glad to be with you again today. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate those that continue to listen week after week. We get some feedback from you every now and then. We appreciate that. We would also encourage you to listen to the ads as the sponsors' ads are played, and take note and go and visit our sponsors. And please tell them that you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call and thank them for sponsoring the show. Well, last week we were a little short-handed because some of the folks are off gallivanting around the globe, and we've got some of them back this week. We've got Bob Griswold.
Hello.
Mary is sick, unfortunately, so y'all keep her in your prayers. Diane Rufino's with us. You were gone last week.
Yeah, I wasn't gallivanting. I just missed the taping. Just skip me.
Yeah,
so busy. I apologize, but I say hello.
Busy during the holidays. We all understand that. And then Howe and Rainer, they were gallivanting.
Guilty as charged.
We had to the West Coast, back to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a wonderful trip. We went out and visited our son, who lives in Alaska, and his wife, and they met us out in Washington State, and they had rented a place on an island there that was just gorgeous. And
it was about 15 miles from Canada.
Wonderful, wonderful family time. Yeah, it was a wonderful, wonderful family time. And then we went to Outer Banks of North Carolina, which we love dearly, and we stayed in Southern Shores, and a group of guys that I served with in the Army National Guard, and it was a little staff we put together to build facilities for a new division coming into the state, and that was a long time ago, and the group has grown through marriages and children, grandchildren, and there were 17 of us there.
Yeah, there was one of the young women who was there was 6 years old when we first met her parents.
Uh-huh.
She now has children of her own, older than that, and she's one of the group these days.
Well, good.
And her husband and their two children.
I think it's kind of interesting that group consists of two Army guys and one Marine and one civilian. We're in that group that did all that design work on armories and maintenance facilities and airfields and the new headquarters, big buildings and things like that.
Well, we're glad to have you both back with us.
And we're delighted to be home.
I want to start out today's show because this is a new year.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much going on and so much speculation as to what's going to go on. I just want to talk about a few things. There's some hot topics that I picked up on the internet. Yeah, Hal?
Can I add one more thing? You talked about the new year, and I listened to the Wake Up Call the first time it was on in this new year, which I just wanted to tell everybody what a wonderful show I thought it was. And you all had a young lady, school teacher, that Bob and Mary have invited to come to live with them as a result of the hurricanes, Florence and the other ones?
Michael,
yeah. And it was just wonderful listening to that. It was uplifting, and her religion, her things that carried her through those troubling times, and Bob and Mary's generosity to her, and it was a wonderful, wonderful show. Thank you.
And it's been a lot of fun.
Right. And if y'all miss that show, you can go to our website at cctaxpayers.com.
I'm going to go there and listen to it again.
Yeah. It was a good show. Well, getting back to this show, some of the things that happened last year. Of course, we had some elections and midterms. The House changed hands, mm-hmm. and so did the Senate. There's a lot that we're entering into the new year with here, uncharted and unknown. But
I have suspicions, however, that the Senate will be an improvement and the House not so much.
Well, we're already seeing signs of that. Okay, well, one of the things that happened last year also is we got a new Supreme Court justice. Despite the efforts of many to make sure it didn't happen, he was successfully seated, and that's Judge Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
One of the older justices there, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, is currently having some health issues. So there's speculation that the president may get to seat another one. But my curiosity is to just how much do people know about the sitting Supreme Court? How much did you know or do you know about Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Not an awful lot. I can remember paying attention to what was being said when she was in confirmation process, but that's been a long time ago.
Well, I'm afraid a lot, and this is just my opinion, it may or may not be true, but I'm afraid a lot of women celebrated her appointment because she was a woman.
Well, I've never been guilty of that. I've had an opportunity, for example, to vote for a woman for vice president, and hurt me not to do it, but it didn't do it. To vote for somebody just because of what sex they are, or what color they are, or what other unimportant characteristic you want to choose because you share that characteristic,
But would you agree that there are probably a number, or a great number of people that did support that appointment?
There may very well be, but to the degree that there was, I regret it. It's a shame.
I think more people voted for her or were in favor of her because she spent years as a lawyer for the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yep.
And she was very pro-left, very civil liberties oriented.
I think one of the concerns that we have is that when she tries to abide by the Constitution, it's not our Constitution that she's looking at.
All right. Well, the question was, why was she selected and who appointed her? And I think we confirmed it was Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
Right. Well, I've heard that the most conservative one, Diane, conservative member of the Supreme Court is black.
Yes. Yep.
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's look at a little bit of her history, and this comes from a 230-page book called Sex Bias in the U.S. Code. It was published in 1977 by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Here are the highlights of her career. Called for sex integration of prisons and reformatories so that conditions of imprisonment, security, and housing could be equal. She explained, if the grand design of such institutions is to prepare inmates for return to the community as persons equipped to benefit from and contribute to civil society, then perpetuation of single-sex institutions should be rejected. And that's on page 101. She called for the sex integration of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts because they perpetuate stereotyped sex roles. Page 145. She insisted on sex integrating college fraternity and sorority chapters and replacing them with college social societies. Cast constitutional doubt on the legality of Mother's Day and Father's Day as separate holidays. Called for reducing the age of consent for sexual acts to people who are less than 12 years old.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that's horrendous. She says they shouldn't have to get their parents' permission.
Asserted that laws against bigamous persons cohabitating with more than one woman and women cohabitating with bigamists are unconstitutional. Objected to laws against prostitution because prostitution is a consensual act between adults is arguably within the zone of privacy protected by recent constitutional decisions.
And perhaps contract law.
Oh, no! My name is Alice, and I have fallen down a rabbit hole.
Ginsburg wrote that the Mann Act, which punishes those who engage in interstate sex traffic of women and girls, is offensive. Such acts should be considered within the zone of privacy.
What?
Demanded that we firmly reject draft or combat exemption for women, stating women must be subject to the draft if men are. But she added, the need for affirmative action and for transition measures is particularly strong in the uniformed services. An indefatigable censor, Ginsburg listed hundreds of sexist words that must be eliminated from all statutes. Among words she found offensive were man, woman, man-made, mankind, husband, wife, mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, serviceman, longshoreman, postmaster, watchman, seamanship, and to man a vessel. I guess we can't say man the torpedoes anymore, can we?
Yes, we can.
How about human?
Human.
So no longer humanity?
She wanted he, she, him, her, his, and hers to be dropped down the memory hole. They must be replaced by he, she, her, him, hers, his. And federal statutes must use the bad grammar of plural constructions to avoid third-person singular pronouns.
I knew a lawyer one time that said he, she, or it, and you can guess how he pronounced it.
he developed a short way to put them all together.
I love it.
She also condemned the Supreme Court's ruling in Harris versus McRae and claimed that taxpayer-funded abortions should be a constitutional right.
Good grief.
Who are the doctors currently treating Ruth Bader Ginsburg? I don't know. What other political, former, current, senior political heads are they affiliated with? What off-market drugs are being provided in order to sustain minimum daily function? These are questions that were being asked. Who's managing her care? Who is really managing her care? So, anyway, I thought that was interesting.
You know, another interesting thing was she and the late Justice Scalia were the best of friends.
Yep.
And whether they would go to the opera together or whatever else, but out of the courtroom, they were really the best of friends.
Well, my whole point for reading that and asking the question, just how much do people know about the Supreme Court, who's sitting on the bench? How much do you know about your local judges?
Great point.
You know, how much do you know about the people you're voting for when you go to the polls? Now, the judges are appointed, but they're appointed by people you voted for. So at some point, you're held responsible for the decisions that you've made. And that's the issue that I wanted to point out here, is to bring attention to how important it is for you, the people, to educate yourself on who you're voting for before you go to the polls. Hal?
Well, you know, I work pretty hard during the elections to try to help people get elected that I feel will be constitutionally conservative. And one of the hooks that I've used to get people to come over and talk to me sometimes was asking if they know much about the judges who are running. In one case, 8 people were running for one judgeship. So
not this most recent election.
Not this most recent one, no. But oftentimes you'll find that they know the least about the judges that are on the ballot of any of them.
And in the modern world...
Except maybe the soil conservationists.
And in the modern world, the everything seems to not be at an end when the legislature finishes with it. The opposition takes it to court and judge shops and gets a reversal. And if we don't pay attention, we'll make that easy.
All right. Diane?
I think 3 things, if I can remember all the 3 things. First of all, you were talking about the pronouns. Well, my daughter goes to NC State, and now another one of my former students goes to NC State, and you just went through orientation. And part of that orientation was state your name and the pronouns you want to be associated with yourself. So my friend Tristan said, well, one person there wanted to be referred to as they. It's a single person. It's a single male, biological male. His pronoun is he insisted to be referred to as they, if you're going to use a pronoun. But that's what's going on in colleges now.
That's sick.
This indoctrination that you can be whatever you want. So on their dorm door for orientation, you put your name and your pronouns. And that's not the only university I've heard that being applied to. So that might be, you know, one of the gifts that Ruth Bader and her kind have given us. Another thing is, and this is should shock everybody and should alarm everybody and concern everybody, is her history shows that she wants to use the courts and the power of one person in a black robe to undo all the social norms and traditional norms that we as a society are used to and should be expected to follow, such as rules of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then third... is she was not part of the Roe versus Wade decision, but she felt so strongly that it was a fundamental right. So Roe versus Wade, I believe, was decided on a fundamental right issue, due process. You know, you have a fundamental right to an abortion, hence it's a due process violation if you try and prevent anybody from getting one. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg, in an interview, was explaining the rationale behind Roe versus Wade. Now, people might think, well, well, it should be really just a strict interpretation of the Constitution. Is that right to privacy there? Really, it's not, but they made the argument that underlying other rights in the Bill of Rights is a privacy concern. All right. But she said that not only is it a right under the, you know, under your central liberties, she says, I would have, if I was part of that court, I would have protected it further under equal protection, because she thought that right was so important that it should be prevented or protected at every possible level by every legal mechanism possible. Equal protection, I don't understand how, but she said a woman cannot participate equally in the workforce, can never take a place equal if she has to be concerned about what's in growing in her womb. And if a baby happens to be in her womb and it gets in the way and she wants a career first, she should have that ability to determine her fertility. That was, according to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, their rationale for deciding Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Right? So again, you have to ask yourself, is that the purpose of a court? Is that the purpose of a judge in a black robe to put social concerns, try to move social policy, or is it just to interpret the Constitution?
Now, you started that out by talking about your daughter going to NC State.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I brought this out on last week's show, but you weren't there, so I'm going to touch it real quick again. North Carolina State University Social Justice Program sheds name, problems persist. New college program would teach educators to be activists. There is already evidence of social justice infecting school systems. Schools should teach students the basics and how to think, not what to think. Last month, various state and national media outlets reported North Carolina State University approved a PhD program concentration in social justice education. According to news reports, a November press release, which accompanied the announcement, noted the program is designed to prepare scholar activists to lead in matters of social justice. The goal of the program is to help educators recognize and disrupt systems of oppression by helping to foster and create equitable learning environments. Faculty for the new program will be drawn from various research areas such as social justice teacher education, multicultural education and literacy, education and immigration, and diversity and equity in schools and communities.
Yeah, and you know where a lot of these students might end up? In law school.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, it starts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I submit that the people that designed that PhD program wouldn't recognize social justice if it came up and smiled at them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just, he talked about the fellow that wanted to be called they. Kind of reminds me of the British aristocracy, the Queen of England saying, we are not amused.
Yeah. All right, we need to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back and touch another subject.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, I hope you enjoyed the first segment there. It was, I thought it was interesting, and I want to jump into another topic here that has piqued my interest because it's all over the place being discussed right now. Most recently, on Facebook, I saw where one of our previous Craven County commissioners brought the subject up, and that's the subject of term limits. And he is for term limits and was promoting that concept. In one of the comments came from one of our current state representatives, Michael Speciale, and I tend to agree with Michael's response here, and I'm going to read that to you. Term limits were considered by the founding fathers and discarded. Term limits are supposed to be set by the voters. Putting term limits into law takes power away from the citizens and increases the power of unelected bureaucrats. If someone is doing a great job, you, the citizen, have no choice because you cannot keep them. Well, I tend to agree with that. What Michael is saying is we are the term limits. Mm-hmm. We the people. And if we're letting somebody that's not effective stay in there too long, then we're at fault. We're not doing our job.
Yep. I had a hot and heavy debate with Michael on that very subject a few years back. And I started out wildly in favor of passage of term limits. He won the debate. I changed my mind and continued to think very much as you and he do.
Right. Well, I'll be honest with you. I used to be in favor of term limits. But in my progression and growth in this grassroots activity, mm-hmm. I've learned more and more about, you know, when you give up just a little slice of your freedom in one area.
Yes. And I tell you something else. We have seen what term limits does to the presidency. I don't think it's a successful experiment. For this reason, when you think about the notion of deep state and all the stuff we've talked about of interference with presently elected people, so much of that is in the executive branch. Accident or because we've got term limits?
Right. If you really want to solve some of the problems, term limits isn't where you need to go. You need to go to get rid of some of the bureaucracy, some of the things that the Constitution does not give the government the authority to do in the first place. Mm-hmm. You need to get rid of some of these departments that are up there, Department of Education, Department of this, that, and the other,
yep.
all little bureaucracies that have been built that are outside of the scope of what government has the authority to do constitutionally. Diane?
I used to think, like Michael Speciale and you, Rainer, I used to think that term limits, I mean, could hurt us, it could help us, depending on who the representative is. If it was Michael Speciale, I don't want term limits. I want him there all the time. But I think we're looking at our voter base now, and it's not a good thing. All right, you know, I don't trust the people to do the right thing anymore. I used to have hope, you know, as education, we think the right way, and others, some may think the right way. But when you have a whole community that can vote in someone like Maxine Waters. That's a whole district.
I understand where you're coming from.
And Ocasio-Cortez,
whatever.
I understand where you're coming from.
But we have socialists. They've elected socialists.
That's right. But here's the thing. Every one of them has or will break the law. I guarantee it. They're not being held accountable for their actions. That, again, is our fault.
Oh, yeah.
They're not.
You know,
how does Maxine Waters end up being have a $4 million estate on the salary she's getting paid?
Oh, well, I know, but our whole government—that's we don't have a respectable government. We don't have that higher, that moral standard and that ethical standard. That it's a privilege to serve in our country to represent the people. It's an honor. It's a privilege, but people don't think of it that way. Just like that Rashida. The Muslim, the potty mouth Muslim, who used a bad language to describe the president. The decorum is gone.
Right. I agree. I totally understand where you're coming from.
But I think we can have term limits, maybe the language, maybe for senators. A senator cannot serve two consecutive six-year terms, or more than two six-year consecutive terms. Leaving the possibility, if you really want to go back there, earn the people's trust again. Go back to them. After a little bit of a break.
Well, I don't know that would solve the problem either.
And we can always change, right? You know, we can always change an amendment.
Ultimately, I'm going to equate it to the gun laws. What's another gun law going to do? They don't obey the laws that are there. So, add term limits if you want to. I don't think that's going to fix.
I don't think it'll ever pass anyway. I don't think Congress will ever.
Well, I don't think it'll fix the problem. You're just going to replace one bad apple with another bad apple. And guess what? When they come in, the same bureaucracy above them that they're operating within is still going to be there.
Absolutely.
Because you haven't elected them. They've been appointed. Some of them are lifetime appointments. That's where we've got to go. And that's what draining the swamp and cleaning out D.C. is all about.
Yeah.
If we take the original architecture that the founding fathers had set up for our government and we can manage to get back to that, and get rid of all this bureaucracy above.
We're trying so hard, and Trump is trying so hard. And they're throwing everything they can at him. And he's trying to do the right thing. And what they've got, Mueller, this perpetual, what's it going to be, an eight-year investigation on him? You have this deep state drumming up false information and, getting FISA, spying warrants on. Yep. They're doing everything they can to bring him down. And all he wants to do, he's got the approval of the American people. We sent him there. They want to nullify our vote, and they want to go back to the same old, their corrupt system, their swamp in D.C.
Well, I'd say let's attack the problem at the root. Bob and Hal are itching to get in here, Bob.
They're not the only one.
First off, there's a couple of things. One, there's been a constitutional change that senators are now elected by the public rather than being appointed by the various states, which held them accountable. That was a way of doing quick term limits that we don't have now. The second thing that I'd like to point out is that the original representatives were merchants or farmers or whatever else that left their profession for 2 years, 4 years, went and said their piece, and then went back and had to live by those rules, whatever rules there were. And then the third thing is each of the senators and representatives now have a staff, a very, very deep state staff that writes these convoluted laws. The senators and representatives don't really ever read them.
I agree.
That's abhorrent.
Hal?
Well, Bob hit on what I was thinking about, and that is that if you force a turnover, after two terms or whatever, then the deep state gets stronger and stronger. There's a learning curve to every job, and it takes a while to just learn what it's all about and kind of get your contacts, get your people that are going to be on your side or people you know are going to be against you, and learn the ropes.
And then to get appointed to committees, heads of committees and stuff like that.
That's exactly right. And so if you then, after you've learned all that, you get kicked out because your times are up, it's a waste. The public doesn't benefit from that I see.
Yeah, I agree. The way the founding fathers intended it was we the people would decide when it was time for them to go.
And you've gotten back to something that Diane said that just set my mind off big time, and I want to get back to it. And that is, you don't trust people anymore.
I don't trust people. Sorry,
well, Diane, think about it. Our founders were very concerned that we were not a moral enough nation. Mm-hmm. We've been led down a primrose path, largely through education, entertainment, and you know the three-legged stool. Our job, and CCTA is working to do this, is to, number one, educate people as to what it's supposed to look like. And the second thing is we need to become a moral nation again. We need to become a trustworthy group of citizenry.
Yeah, educated as well.
Well, Rainer, mm-hmm. you point out a couple of things. You know, our founding fathers didn't have to deal with the mass media and some of the problems that you were referring to there. They did a brilliant job because they were looking at previous forms of government,
mm-hmm.
the government that they were leaving to come and establish a new one, and other world governments over history.
Yes,
they were looking
including
at
ancient times.
They were examining the human condition, and they were trying to see where things would go and how they would operate.
And human nature hasn't changed.
No,
the speed of communication and the means of communication changed drastically, but human nature has not changed.
Right. So they took those things, history, experience, and the knowledge of human nature. And from that, they came up with a system that's outlasted any other
mm-hmm.
and created more good in the world and done more good in
yep.
the world. But, you know, right now it's probably one of the worst there's ever been because of the corruption, and that's a lot of that's just being exposed now.
And part of the problem is our citizens don't understand history. The history has been rewritten and therefore has been misrepresented to them in many, many cases. So we don't have the same tools they had in our brains to figure out what we're looking at. We've got a long way to go, but I think we've started what we need to do. There are more and more of us who are noticing these problems and are noticing what they consist of and what needs to happen in order to right the ship of state and our society in general.
Right. Well, a lot of work's going to have to be done to take care of what Diane's afraid of over there, not being able to trust people. The work's going to have to be done on the human condition, and that's going to go back to the churches. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, morality is just going to have to be reborn, I guess.
We have to get education out of the concentration of the government.
Right. We don't need education like we just talked about NC State. We don't need colleges giving degrees in social justice. That's
not their
business.
That's creating problems. That is not creating problem-solving people ready to deal with the real world.
We don't need education systems like Common Core. We don't need teachers taking care of our family problems or raising our children to be what they think they should be. We send them to school to get an education in mathematics and languages and history and social studies, things like that, not social engineering.
Yeah, and I think that's why private schools and homeschooling is growing compared to the number of children going to
and
public.
You can really tell.
Call it public schools, call it government schools.
You can really,
is what they really are.
You can really tell the difference. If you take, well, like Hal would do at the gun shows. Young kids would be there with their parents, and he would ask if it was all right to ask them some questions. And if they could answer the questions, they could win a prize. So he would ask them simple questions like who the first three presidents were.
Or any one of the first three is what he generally asked.
Or other things about our history, our founding, our Constitution, you know.
What country did we win our independence from?
Yeah.
Real tough question.
Did we ever have another war with that country?
Yes. What does the Second Amendment protect? You know,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The public school educated kids would look up at Dad and with a blank stare on their face.
And very often, Dad or Mom was embarrassed.
Yep.
They didn't realize. And that's a darn shame because it shows they don't communicate with their children about what's going on in school. Again, too trusting of a third party to guide your own child. That's a big, big mistake.
Right. On the other hand, the homeschool kids invariably popped answers right off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they knew the answers because the homeschool programs that are out there, if you're picking the right ones, They are given the education that you want your child to have. And take it to another level. If you watch, Waters World or some of these, where news reporters or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. They go out on college campuses or out on beaches or whatever with the microphones, and they ask these questions of college students and older or younger adults and all. And, man, it is... It's hard to believe that some of them are totally unaware.
Yeah.
They can't tell you who the vice president is. Some of them can't tell you who the president is. They can tell you anything about government or the Constitution. You know, they're like brain dead.
But they can tell you they're $150,000 in debt because of the wonderful education
they got. Well said.
Good point, Bob. Good point. Well, we're going to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and pick up another topic.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, where we're having very lively discussion. I'll let you know if you're new to the show, CCTA is Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We're a constitutional conservative grassroots group, in case you haven't figured that out yet. one of our charters is to try to educate the public, and that's what we attempt to do here. Sometimes I think we get that accomplished. I hope so anyway. All right, I want to talk about something else interesting. I was on the internet today. I'm getting ready to have shoulder surgery, so since I can't half use my right arm at all anymore, I spend a lot of time in the past few days just sitting on the internet.
Creating a mental monster, I can tell.
I can tell, yeah. So anyway, I'm sure a lot of people have heard about QAnon. If you haven't, it's patriots on the internet that are communicating a lot of things, and I find it interesting. And I ran across this one because it was interesting to me because it is right here in our area. The strange thing is that it was posted from Poland. Hmm. And what is posted is, the two pictures below show a prison barge in port at Morehead City, North Carolina. The barge recently arrived from New York City. A family member who is a captain in this area saw it and recognized it as a prison barge from New York where he used to live. So I thought that was very interesting. He placed a call to some port workers that he knew and confirmed the boat's origin and found out that the prison barge is headed to Cuba, to Guantanamo. It is literally a floating prison. And they also relayed that, according to their paperwork, that a second barge is coming from the west coast of U.S., also headed for Cuba. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because I didn't hear it on local news media.
No, of course not.
I haven't heard any mention of the prison barges at the port in Morehead, but here I'm looking at the pictures, and I've done enough fishing in that port that, yeah, that's the port of Morehead.
I know enough about that port to know that if that fellow reported it, that I'm pretty sure I know who he was, and it's accurate. And I am very interested to find out what develops from that.
Well, the speculation here that if you follow the threads on that, you know, a lot of the deep state have gone missing over the past few weeks. They're not posting on the internet anymore. Their Twitter accounts, their Facebook accounts are inactive. And the question was, well, where are they? And that's where I ran across this. Speculation is they may be on a cruise.
Gosh.
Well,
I don't know whether that's good or bad. I mean, you know, we're going around rounding up people and sending them to Guantanamo. I'm not so sure, unless they've got indictments and so forth, you know.
Well, I'm
not
going.
Cruise with walls.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it'll be interesting to watch what develops out of that, if anything. And it's, yeah.
Okay, let's move on to something else that has been going on for a little while. It carried over from last year. Thanks to our governor, we're still faced with having to fight this battle, and that's with voter ID. We, the people, overwhelmingly approved through our vote voter ID.
A constitutional
amendment. And, well, it's in the court systems now, right, Diane?
Yeah, but I don't know how much strength the petitioners have. It's just really a handful of people.
But
you mean the ones challenging it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't think they are likely to be successful, or
I don't know how you challenge this one. They went through all the right venues, they did it the right way. I think they've exhausted their racial challenge.
We went through this before. The legislature did voter ID, and it was based on other models that were accepted and still in effect. Yeah, and it got thrown out by courts.
But other states were based on our law that was thrown out.
Yeah. But isn't it made stronger by it passing to be put into the state constitution and in the last election? I mean, I think that should make a much stronger case.
Well, case was that the legislators were racially motivated in adopting this voter ID, this omnibus bill, where they made a couple changes to our voter laws. They said every change they made was discriminatory intentionally. But what are they going to do, challenge and complain that every single voter that, you know, voted for a strict, and it was a strict photo ID, you know, law. What are they? Every single one is racially, you know, biased.
Right.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Diane, does the petitioner have to show why they are injured?
They have standing, but now the petitioners, from what I understand, are a couple of African American people.
And they
don't believe it's a group. I just think they're individual effort.
And of course, they've been.
There's no actual harm.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking.
Well, I just took a pretty long trip, and I'd hate to tell you how many times I had to show my ID.
Well, that was the point I was going to get to. These people don't have bank accounts. They don't have to go to the doctor.
They don't take plane trips. The voter ID law has a lot of provisions. I mean, you can get a photo ID. You can use your college ID. They didn't want to include that at first because I just wanted to use the UNC school system, university system, but then the Democrats wanted to have it for almost all the university systems. Now, Jay Delancey from the Voter Integrity Project says that's a whole can of worms because not every university has the strict standards that you need to have a student ID.
Right.
But
plus, they may or may not be in-state students.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think anybody that looks at it objectively realizes that there is no real problem there.
Nobody's being disenfranchised. There's so many options.
And you know, these social
worker
groups,
worker IDs, yeah.
These social groups, organizations, are, and some of them that are pushing this so hard, and they have been. You know, if they put as much effort into taking these people and helping assist them in getting an ID, as much effort as they put in getting them to the polls and telling them how to vote, it wouldn't be a problem.
You know, the thing is, we always talk about race, race, race. This is discriminatory, and it must be racially motivated. It must be racially this and that. No one ever talks about what the real reason is, and is that the lack of confidence in our elections. The threat of fraud, the actual fraud, the election fraud, and this has been documented. People want to reject the data. They're, oh, yeah, you're complaining about six possible cases. No, there's thousands of them.
Yes.
The government itself, like in 2004, had a special committee to investigate fraud. It was an elections committee at the federal level. They investigated, and their conclusion was that fraud was so prevalent that their recommendation was to every state to enact a voter ID law. Now the government, if they can find fraud, you know, I don't know why they're rejecting that there is fraud. If the government itself found that there's fraud,
they are rejecting it so that they can perpetuate
exactly.
it.
Right.
They don't want that problem solved, closed.
You know what I always say is both parties can benefit from voter fraud, but only one party wants to use it.
You know,
one wants.
It's interesting that these petitioners probably have to show a photo ID to get into the court to say, I don't need a photo ID.
All right. Well, anyway, that's something that's still ongoing out there. We're waiting to hear on the outcome of that. Hopefully it'll stand as a constitutional
amendment. Yeah, I think it should. It should.
One of the big arguments oftentimes is that black folks are denied because they can't get a voter ID. I think that is demeaning to them, and it should be insulting to them.
Insulting.
Yes. Yeah.
And ridiculous. If you talk to them, you find out that they feel the same way. It's a small group that they have political agendas.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we got to talk about all the problems in the world. So.
Yeah. Now we've depressed everybody.
We didn't solve them?
We solve them next week.
Okay, good. Let's get back to this next week and be a little more upbeat about it.
That's right. That should be the reason people tune in next week, is to find out their solutions.
That's right. We're going to work real hard on coming up with those solutions. Actually, I'm going to be recovering from surgery, so y'all are going to have to take care of that. Okay.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
All right. I want to point out to you that CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, we have a public meeting every month, the third Tuesday of every month. This month it's going to be on the 15th. And that is a Tuesday night. It's held in downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. You can get the directions, the address, all the information on the meeting place and the meeting itself on our website at cctaxpayers.com. Now, as vice chair, it is my responsibility as program chairman to line up the program each month. And this month, the program is the opioid epidemic, and there's, I'd say, very few, if any, families out there that haven't been touched in some way by this epidemic, and the epidemic's just getting worse and worse and worse. For example, the North Carolina Opioid Action Plan, and this is put out by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. And this has a description of the problem here, so I'm going to share it with you. From 2017 to 2021, that's what the plan is for. It says the rising number of opioid overdose deaths has created a public health crisis in North Carolina. From 1999 to 2016, opioid-related overdose deaths have increased by over 800%. Resulting in over 12,000 needless deaths. This epidemic has only increased in severity with unprecedented availability of cheap heroin and fentanyl. According to CDC estimates, the cost of unintentional opioid-related overdose deaths in North Carolina totaled $1.3 billion in 2015, and that's coming out of you, the taxpayers' pocket. Their focus areas are, one, create a coordinated infrastructure, 2, reduce oversupply of prescription opioids. 3, reduce the diversion and flow of illicit drugs. 4, increase community awareness and prevention. 5, make naloxone widely available. Link overdose survivors to care. Number 6, expand treatment and recovery-oriented systems of care. And number 7, measure our impact and revise strategies based on results. So that's why we're talking about the opioid epidemic. What we have is a panel of local sheriffs that I've invited. We have confirmations from Sheriff Chip Hughes here in Craven County, Asa Buck in Carter County, Danny Heath in Pamlico County. I've also invited the sheriffs in Beaufort County, Pitt County, and Jones County. I haven't gotten confirmation yet, but I'm recording this a week ahead of time, so we'll find out. Anyway, we'll have those people. We did have a representative from Department of Health and Human Services scheduled to be with us, But I just recently got an email indicating that that won't happen because they've been called to jury duty. So,
okay. Rick, I want to congratulate you for putting together a wonderful program there, and I hope people don't miss it. It's just, everyone should be there.
They should be there. We're also going to have another group in attendance, and that's a ministry group. It's Third Street Ministries out of Pitt County. They're in Greenville. They do several things. One of their things they do is they have a Christian boys' school. They provide a really good education to those that could not afford to have the type of education they're getting there. They also have a work program for recovering addicts that they do lawn landscaping, commercial lawn care. They're branching out into residential lawn care now. But they provide a place for them to go and live. They're in a group home. They have to pay their way, so they have to earn money. They give them a job, and they can reestablish themselves in society. It's working out real well. I know firsthand because my oldest son is recovering, and he's been through a number of recovery programs that didn't do anything. But this one has changed his life. So we're glad to have them come.
That's and wonderful.
Tell us about their program and what they're doing to make a difference. Diane?
Yeah, I just want to say, talking about the opioid crisis, the number one avenue where the heroin's coming in for these overdoses is across our southern border.
Across the southern border.
So I noticed that none of those solutions addressed
And as a sideline, I have seen MS-13 in Craven County.
All right. Well, that's the meeting that's scheduled for January, and we hope y'all will come and attend. Again, go to cctaxpayers.com. All the information is there. Thank you for joining us today, and please visit our sponsors and tell them you heard about us on CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.